The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimony. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's visit.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another broadcast of the RSVP Show. I'm your host, April D. Metzler, and I'm here to delve into some more scripture with you guys. We're going to be reading John chapter 13. And a lot of you might know this passage by the reference of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And so we are going to be going right into this. I thank you so much for tuning in here. If this is your first time watching one of these broadcasts or listening to this podcast episode, I encourage you to go back and check out the rest of the book of John. And there are other Declaring War segments over other passages and verses and all that jazz that you can dive into. We've got scripture reflections. We've also got some other segments for the Heart Behind the Worship interviews that you can catch for specific one-on-one interviews with brothers and sisters in Christ in the kingdom who are doing things for the Father's glory alone and just pouring into people as best as they know how in the season of their walk. And we just share that over the airwaves along with some scriptures, of course, because we know that God's word does not return back to Him void, but it accomplishes that which it was sent out to do. And so that is a powerful impact no matter what you do. I encourage you, for you fellow broadcasters and just those who are doing live broadcasts on social media, reels, all that jazz, be sure to share the word of God in what you're sharing and let it do what it does. You don't have to say a word, and those words that you do say that are scripture are powerful and able to just pierce the heart of the listener and make a difference and make a change in this world for the better, just showing God's love through His word. So, all right, you guys, just make sure that you are ready, and we're going to dive into some prayer real quick before we go through and just make sure that this space is prepared. We want to be prepared. We want to submit everything at the foot of the cross, and then move forward and to Him with the mercy seat of grace. The whole submission process is pivotal when we're reading His word. We don't want anything to get in the way of our understanding. It says, "In all our getting, get understanding." We want to bring in the open door, if you will, to our hearts and the open door to our mind in this environment right now so that we can receive what the Lord has for us in this very moment. So we want to just wash ourselves clean. We want to make sure that the world is not clinging to us right now, all that junk, all that drama, whatever it is that you have been dealing with today. We just want to set that down and give it to the Lord. So please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We just thank you. We enter your courts with praise and thanksgiving. We want to make sure that we honor you first. We want to make sure that you are our focus. We want to make sure that we clear the airwaves, the path of everything that we're fixing to read. We want to make sure that it is available to receive in fullness, not in partiality, Father. We want all of you and none of the world. So if there's anything that we're holding on to, Father, right now in this moment, we just surrender it to you. We give it to you and we don't want to take it back. So prevent us from reeling that back in after we cast it to you, Father. We want to just release that completely. All of the stress that's tried to attack us today, the worry that's tried to attack us today, anything that has come against us, Father, we give that over to you as well. We know that you are our vindication. You are our strong tower. You are our refuge and our strength. And all of our needs are going to be met according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You promised that this is the case for all of us. As we go through our days, we can rely on you and we can trust in you and have that faith to hold on to and that confidence in Christ, because Christ has already overcome all the world, Father, on our behalf. That work is already finished. It is done. And there is no need for us to be doing that part, Father. So we just surrender all of that to you. We repent of holding on to these things. And we yield to your ways, Father, not our own ways, not our own thoughts about things. And we surrender all of that to you in the name of Jesus. And we ask that Holy Spirit lead us through this scripture, pour into us even more enlightenment in the eyes of our heart, so that we may know you more. Bring in further revelation and further spiritual wisdom as to the knowledge of you, Father, that's within these pages as we read through this. And we just yield ourselves to this, and we ask you to strip away any of our reasoning processes, our life worldly experiences out of this whole thing, so that we can interpret this with a pure heart and a clean mind, renewed mind, and that spiritual wisdom just to pour into us that in fullness, Father. We ask that also in the name of Jesus. You said that whatsoever we ask in the name of Jesus, it will be done unto us, so that you, God, are glorified through your Son. And so we do these things in confidence, knowing that these petitions that we bring forth to you about this release, this restoral, this renewal, this cleansing, this purifying, this sanctification process that you have us walking through day by day, Father, this continuous renewal and perfection in Christ that we are yielded to, Father, we know that you will do these things. And so we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And we thank you, thank you, thank you. We cannot thank you enough. We outpour our thanksgiving into you right now, Father. And we ask that these reminders throughout the rest of the day after we've read this word continue to bring it to our remembrance by Holy Spirit to thank you for everything. Amen. All right, you guys. So we're going to be getting into some stuff right now. I hope you came prepared with a notepad and a pen and paper and all of that jazz, because you might need to be taking some notes with this. So like I said, we are in John chapter 13. You've tuned into the Declaring War segment for the RSVP show, and we are going to get into this. So starting in verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him," Jesus, of course, "knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter and he said to him," This is Simon Peter saying something in response to all of this. He's seeing all this going on. So set yourself in old Simon Peter's place for a moment. And he said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. And for this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So we're going to stop right there real quick and just recap here. So let's set the tone, of course, you know, and in that time in culture, that was not something that was common to do. You didn't wash one another's feet unless there was a few exceptions, of course, where it was, you know, you're just letting them know that you have this devotional, you know, high level of regard and love and consideration. And it was very rarely that that was done. Mostly that washing of the feet, you know, it was something that needed to be done, of course, because of the dustiness and traveling by foot and all of that jazz. It was a common thing, but it was for those that were more geared toward a servant stature. And so that was their role. You know, they were to do that as the people that were guests of the home came in, and that wasn't something that the host or hostess or whomever would do on their own. They had their servants do that. So of course there's a shock and awe factor here. And then we want to highlight, you know, Jesus doing this. I love how John just runs into this with the knowledge factor. You know, before he even talks about them having their feet washed and this positional shift, this heart posture example that Jesus gives to his disciples just in this hands-on teaching moment here, is that he talks about the knowledge, Jesus's awareness of what is to come. And he, you know, explains not only that he knows what he's going to have to do and that the next steps and God the Father has already poured all of that information into him. So when, as he's walking in this obedience, he has an idea of what to expect. He's fully aware of what is to come, right? He's got that revelation, that word of wisdom and knowledge, if you will, in him. And he's confident in what he's walking out in. And then it does pivot and it talks about, you know, Judas as well. You know, he's even aware of what his enemies at that moment, you know, it's someone that is going to mean him harm, is going to betray him. And he's already aware of that. He's already aware of the plot behind the scenes, you know, that Judas's heart was in alignment with what the devil desired in that moment. And so they were working together. And so all of this is, you know, in advance before he talks about what action Jesus is going to be taking. And so here we are where he's getting everything done. He's not even asking the servants to prep for what he's fixing to do. It's not like he's saying, hey, can you go get me a basin of water? Can you go get me a towel? Can you go do this or that or whatever, which he could have very well done, right? But he didn't. He actually did all of the steps of the service, the preparation to serve others. He did the work to do that. And I think that that is something that we need to highlight in this. It's not necessarily the steps themselves. I'm sure that it didn't take very much to prep, but in this example, but there is a very big piece of our walk tied to preparation prior to serving others. You know, we step into the role of serving others, but how are we preparing for that role? Are we seeking the Lord to understand his humility and his grace so that we can humble ourselves in a proper manner and lower ourselves to the point where we're only honoring God. You know, like, what is our preparation steps that we're taking in order to get ready to serve others? Because Jesus knew his steps and he did them, and he did them in fullness, and it was efficient, and he made sure that everything was prepared before he began to work on their washing their feet and everything. So something to think about, something to take away from that piece. He prepared before. And so, of course, he went through and he just began doing so, and he also didn't announce that he was going to do what he was about to do. He just did it. And that's another thing. You know, are we, you know, again, are we taking any of the glory at all in what we're doing, or are we just doing the work of the Lord? That's something else to consider here in that. And that's just a few things that came up as I'm reading through here. So whatever comes up to you guys, like I always say, you know, just make sure that you're, you know, taking those notes down, because, you know, Holy Spirit may be, you know, pouring into you another layer of this as I'm talking and as we're reading the word, and it talks through me to you. You know, my vocal cords are the, you know, carrier, but the point is for you to soak this stuff up. And so Peter, of course, doesn't understand what's going on here, or else he wouldn't have questioned Jesus doing what he's doing. And so sometimes we question what God is doing, or what our circumstances are, or how God is going about stuff, or we also put him in a box of expectation. And so we expect him to deliver such and such A, B, C, and D at such and such time, you know, in such and such location. And we've got all of these expectations about how God is supposed to deliver on his promises and deliver on said scripture promise or said scripture, you know, prayer that you just prayed. And we don't want to do that, because then we block God from operating in the fullness that he has for us. And we limit, you know, what is going on or what could be going on in our environments. So I encourage you to not expect God to teach you or pour into you in a certain structured mechanism way. Like, just because he did it in a previous season doesn't mean that's how he's going to do it in this season. And he may never do it again the same way. You know, how well do you know God and the fact that he is the creator? Like, you don't think that he has creative ways as the creator to provide for you in whatever way he sees fit and in whatever timing and through whomever he sees fit to do? You know, we've got to be mindful of that, aware of that, that God is in control. He's on the throne. He's the Alpha and Omega, not our version of him. And so I don't think that, you know, Peter was just lacking understanding. And sometimes that's what we end up doing. We lack understanding. We put him in, you know, such and such box, and we keep him there, and he's not able to move in our lives in the way that could have been 10 times or 100-fold, you know, return, you know, on our time of investment in his presence. You know, does that make sense? So we don't want to limit him in our own understanding. And so we set that down and let him work. And so, but yeah, he goes in, of course, and he talks about the cleansing, you know, the need for that we're completely clean. Yes, we are. We have this imputed righteousness through the work that Jesus already has accomplished, right? But there is a sanctification process that goes along with that. And so there's that washing of the feet. Just consider it in a way where, you know, we have steps that we take, right? Every step counts, and we move forward in our walk, and we grow, and we learn. And as we do that, we want to constantly submit our flesh and our whole self to the Lord's working. He's the potter, we're the clay, you know, and so there's this continual molding and shaping into the newness in Christ that we don't know, but God does, and he teaches us these things. And so as we yield, as we allow him to wash us clean of the ways of our past life and the worldly way of living, our past life experiences that molded our thought processes, we have to submit to a cleansing or washing of the feet on a regular basis so that we don't get caught up in the ways of the world. We're constantly seeking his righteousness and his kingdom, not our own. And so that's what is definitely a great pull out of here, a good key takeaway here. And of course, he's highlighting not all of you are clean, because he's talking about Judas, but they didn't know that at the time. So we're going to go ahead and move on. And it says, so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? 13 is where we're at. And it says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. And the word example here is actually talking about like a pattern of behavior, being purposeful in your choices and in the way that you act and your follow through. You know, you're actually doing this as a way of loving on people and also showing humility at the same time. And so 16 says, truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him, like a messenger. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. So I just want to reiterate here, if you know these things, you are blessed to do them. You know, it's talking about being, you know, where it talks about being hearers of the word. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers also, lest you deceive yourselves. You know, we want to hear this word. We want to put it down in our souls and make it a part of us. And if it is contradictory to anything that we've already experienced in life, then we need to really take that time, invest that time in, and bump that up against one another. So if the word of God is contrary to something that you are currently operating in or currently doing or currently thinking, like a thought pattern, I encourage you to take the time to figure out why it's contradictory and what that looks like to replace, because we don't want to hold on to something that is contradictory to the word of God. You know, if the truth says otherwise, best defense, don't be there. Like, go toward the direction of the truth. It says that the way in is a narrow gate. It's a narrow path. You know, few find it. And so I encourage you to do the work to find it. And so it says in 18, I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. 19 says, from now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me, meaning God. So it's one of those things where he's like, if there was any inkling of doubt whatsoever, I'm making sure that you won't have a reason to doubt any longer. I'm going to tell you in advance, this is what's going down. And when it happens, boom, you know, believe unto me. And so that's where we're at here. So we've got 21, and this says, when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. That word troubled in spirit is also found over in chapter 12, where he's talking about I'm like a strong horror, anxiety, agitation, or whatever, when he was actually contemplating taking on the wrath of God for the sins of the world. It's that same word usage. And so, you know, betrayal is, you guys know, betrayal is hard to endure. And so I can't imagine, as close as, you know, he was with these guys, like, to have one of them betray. They've been on this journey this whole time, and they've strengthened each other. They've encouraged each other. They've laughed. They've experienced these ministry moments, these miracles, these signs, these wonders together. They've had this bond since they've began this journey. And so what would it look like if you were alongside someone for that long and having this time invested with someone in that relationship, and then they betrayed you? How would you feel? And I would encourage you to think about that when you're going through this part of this passage. And, you know, what does it look like, though, to operate in the fullness of forgiveness towards someone who has betrayed you? Jesus knew this guy was going to betray him. It hadn't even happened yet, and he was still dealing with the emotion as the Son of Man, you know, side of his experience here on earth before he's, you know, glorified. And so 22, it says, the disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus's bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, tell us who it is of whom he is speaking. And he leaning back thus on Jesus's bosom, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus then answered, that is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. And therefore Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things we have need of for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. And so, of course, just a slight recap here. You know, how would it look to not try to prevent someone or not try to convince someone to do something? You know, Jesus surely felt that, or maybe he didn't, because he had that confidence of already knowing what was to come, what needed to come, all of the moving parts. It's nice to have that pre-knowledge, if you will. But we so many times obviously feel like we're blindsided and caught off guard by these things. But if we knew in advance, like, would we try to stop someone or would we not, you know, like, let them do what they're going to do, you know, and then go from there? I don't know. It's something to think about. Like, there's a lesson to learn through both. And it's interesting, that position that Jesus was placed in. All along, though, God knew that this moment was going to come. And so, I don't know. I trying to empathize and put myself into that position. I don't know what I would do if I had the option of the foreknowledge. So 31 to 38, it says, therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. 36 is, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you? And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me 3 times. So I just want to add a final note here about his reiteration here about loving one another. Sometimes it is difficult to see through our circumstances, but it's very needed to love as Jesus Christ loved, not our own understanding of what love is. So I encourage you, if that's like fuzzy, if it's not 100% clear, and you're not exactly sure what that looks like in action, I encourage you to seek him in that, because only in his presence are we going to be teachable enough to hear him clearly in all the aspects of his love. Love is not this singular linear thing. It's like there's this diamond or prism, a crystal prism that this light beam is hitting. Yes, the light is singular in fullness. It's this single impacting beam that hits this prism. But the moment that it hits the prism, it bursts out from every cut, joint, facet of that crystal or diamond, you know? And so then it just explodes out, and then there's this rainbow bursting of light in every direction that is around this, right? And so it's very interesting that love works like that, and love is like that. There is a fullness that is available to us to learn if we are willing to commit and do the preparation before we serve others in love. And so we have to understand it for ourselves, or else we're just that crystal's there, right? And the light's coming, but we have this veil over the top that's like blocking the light beam from hitting the center of the prism, if that hopefully makes sense. It's a good visual. So just consider this, you know, thoroughly, because we want the veil to be removed so that we can see clearly his light that's coming. We understand it clearly, not see visually, but see as in understand, see as in interpret, soak in, know, and have the wisdom of love. So the question really becomes just a sharpening question. Final thought here is, do you in this season of your life have confidence in where or at what level you have wisdom of love? Not just any love, God's love. And so going back to the example about needing to take in the word of God in our souls, you know, and make it a part of us, we want to ask another follow-up question to that when we consider that part of it and our grasp or understanding our level of wisdom of his love. Do we have within ourselves anything contradictory to what the word of God says is his love, and what that in his presence, that time that we invest in his presence to seek him, to seek his kingdom, to seek his righteousness, you know, that intimacy, the practicing the intimacy with the Lord, the relationship building with God through Jesus Christ by Holy Spirit's guidance and leading us through that, like that invested quality time, you know, in that, all that wrapped up into one, the Rhema and the Logos, Word of God. Is it contradictory to anything that we currently understand about love? So that's your guys's, like, you know, sharpening, challenging, accountability, you know, strengthening, exhortation, whatever you want to call it, all wrapped up into one, definitely consider that because it's a little difficult for us to love one another in the way that Jesus Christ loved others if we don't know what Jesus Christ's love in action really is in fullness. If we're just getting partial light beam, or if it's veiled and we're not even getting the light into us for us to give it to others. So, all right, you guys, know that you're not alone. Know that God loves you, and that this is just another deep dive, hopefully strengthening and an encouragement to your heart to get to know the Lord more, even more than you did yesterday, because that is a deep, deep well. It talks about, his love being how far, right? How long, how deep, how wide. It's just unending. And so there's always more to learn. And I encourage you not to limit your learning in just, reading the Bible once or whatever. I mean, every time I open this Bible, I learn something new and I grow closer to the God who loves me through his son, Jesus Christ, so much so that he sent him to die on that cross and take away the sins of the world. You guys, he loves you so much, and you are valuable. You're accepted and you are known, cared about, heard, seen, all of that jazz by him. So I encourage you to get close to him and get to know him even more. All right, you guys, have a good one, and we'll see you next time here on the RSVP show for the Declaring War segment.
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and his people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Alsip, Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.